If you read the outline for today, you will undoubtedly recognize that I drew the short straw. I think it was rigged, but I'm not going to say anything. I want to read a short statement concerning today's message, and really, to be honest with you, if you gain just from this statement, if you really come to an understanding with this statement and with the scripture, I may not even have to preach, because this statement is just kind of like a summation of the whole of the rest of the chapter. And it just simply says, we live and many times find comfort in some sense of dysfunction or chaos. Now, before I go any further, I know some of you are like, no, I like order. But just hear this all the way out. We live and many times find comfort in some sense of dysfunction or chaos. It's the chaos alleviates the need for responsibility and accountability. And unfortunately, that mindset has crept into the church. And while the modern church displays a dysfunctionality similar to the church in Corinth, the motivations are different. The Corinthians were allowing their former lifestyles as pagans to weave its way into their worship, whereas the modern church is enamored with this false sense of mysticism, this thinking that God's Holy Spirit is a wild card, a free thinker who is spontaneous and moves on his own accord, has tainted the worship service and made it a time where people can showcase their talents and display a form of godliness while yet denying the true authority of God to take center stage. When this is allowed, two things undoubtedly happen. God becomes invisible to the one in search of him, and the existing congregation is not edified. God demands and deserves order in his worship service, since after all, it's about him and the worship is to him. Now, if you understand that, then you pretty much got all of what we're about to talk about today. And you'll make the preaching easy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll begin at verse number 26 and read through verse 40. And it says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak at one time. One at a time. And someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in all the congregations of the Lord's people. Verse 34, women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Or did the word of God originate with you? Or are you the only people it has reached? If anyone thinks they are a prophet or otherwise gifted by the Spirit, let them acknowledge that what I am writing to you is the Lord's command. But if anyone ignores this, they themselves will be ignored. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. In verse 26, in your notes, it says, come ready to contribute. As I said last Sunday, many of you are taking Mark's class and discovering what your spiritual gifts are and all the characteristics that go with it, and you're learning more about how the Spirit of God moves and operates within us and as a whole within the church. And the Apostle Paul encourages the Corinthians that they should come ready to contribute. Now, it bears note to say that the worship service in today's time is vastly different than that of the early church. There were elements of singing, as in the Psalms, and then someone would read from the scrolls. It would be the word, God's word from the Old Testament, obviously. There would be a prophecy that would come from between one to three people. Now, right there, you'll see one gift of the Holy Spirit being used. What would happen is they would get through singing, and someone would read from the scroll, and then somebody would come back and prophesy. In other words, somebody would come back and expound on what's being said. Now, if you want to know if we still do that in today's time, we do. I just read God's word. Now I'm expounding. In that church, someone would have come up and read the scripture. And some of you all are from the old school church, or traditional church, I should say, Baptist church or the Pentecostal church or whatever, and you had an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading. Technically, somebody was supposed to come back and explain what was just read. And that was kind of in keeping with the early church. So we see now that they're singing. The word of God is being read. And now there are people who are prophesying according to what's been read. Now, after this, after the prophecy, there would be a weighing in. Somebody would come behind, or some people would come behind, and there would be what they call a weighing in, or a discussion period. But the discussion was led by a teacher. Now we see another gift of the Holy Spirit being utilized. Someone would teach about what was just prophesied, about what was just read. Now remember, earlier on in the chapter, the Apostle Paul talks about that all of these gifts are there for the building up or for the edification of the church. We grow because of this. So notice the order in which God is doing this. We're singing the songs. In other words, now we are being reminded of God's greatness, His goodness, His mercy. We're being reminded of how awesome God is and how He has moved in times past. And so we get a sense of, a glimpse of, who God is. When I'm teaching worship leaders about leading worship, I tell them the main goal is that we are to usher people into the throne room of God so that they themselves can have an experience with God in that particular service or that particular setting. And so the worshipers have sang the Psalms, and they've given us a glimpse of God. They've given us a chance to experience God now that our hearts are in tune and we're aligned and we're seeing God. We're kind of having, if you will, kind of an Isaiah moment, right? We're seeing, we're sensing the move of God. We're sensing God speaking and the doorposts moving as he speaks. And we're sensing that there's angelic beings floating around, and we're having a God experience. Now God's word is being read. And when God's word is read, someone comes behind and begins to prophesy. In other words, in that day and time, they were foretelling as well as forthtelling according to what was read. Now, for clarification purposes, here comes the teacher. And the teacher would come and begin to talk about what all just transpired, what all just happened, and put it all in perspective, so that everybody had an understanding before they left that place. Because if you left there shaking your head in confusion, you were not built up. And therefore, the worship service meant nothing to you. See, when we come here for worship, we're not coming here for form or fashion. We're not coming here like we go to our jobs because I have to show up. If to be real and be honest with you, I'm not here today because I'm scheduled to preach. I'm here today because I wanted to be a part of the worship service, and I'm here today to learn and to grow and to have a God experience. And so we don't come here just to be coming here. I see some with a cardinal hat on and somebody with a cardinal jersey on. I'm excited because I'm thinking that you're going to the game. But you're not coming here as a stop on your way to the game. This is something that's commanded by God. This is something that we are designed to do. And God has given us a place to do it. And so all of these things are taking place so that we are built up in God, whether it be for a moment or for the week or for a lifetime. God is pouring into us at that moment. If there are any visitors, moving on, if there are any visitors or foreigners in the midst, the Holy Spirit would miraculously speak to that person the wonderment of God in their native language, or as they refer to in Scripture as tongues. Again, another gift. The gift of tongues are being used. I don't know if anybody in here has ever wondered how come we never, I shouldn't say never, how come we have not seen in recent times in this congregation here at 7410 Houdershell Road, how come we have not seen tongues go forth in this congregation, in this building from Sunday to Sunday. And it is because there is not a need for it at that moment. From Sunday to Sunday, we do not have somebody that comes in that does not understand English, and therefore God does not need to expose himself to them in their native tongue. God, as this says over and over, God is a God of order. And so everything God does, he does with purpose. He is not doing it just to, again, for form or fashion. God is not doing it to show off and show out. God has some specificity to everything he does. And if there is no need for a tongue, there won't be a tongue. But if there is, the tongue will go forth, and there, again, another gift. And then someone would interpret. Now, the person who is a foreigner would gather it, would understand it. The congregation would miss it. But again, in order for them to be built up, they would need to know what was said and why. There we have the interpretation. So all of us, in all of our gifts and talents and abilities, they're needed. But if you are gifted, well, if you are saved, then you're gifted. Then you are to be here so that God can use your gift at whatever time. Now, I've heard people talk about singing and dancing and all of that. We got some really good, talented people here. But singing and dancing are not gifts. Playing the instrument is not a gift. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are clearly aligned or are clearly said or brought out in Scripture. And when God gives us those gifts, He wants us to be a part of the congregation, and He wants us to be around each other as often as we can, so that those gifts and those abilities of the Holy Spirit can be utilized, because you never know who needs it. I used to tell leaders when I was pastoring at Grace Church and Crosswalk, I used to tell our leaders, I need you all to be there. Every time we open the door, if we have something, unless you have a reason for not being there, you are out of town or in jail or dead. Right? But I need you to be there, because if you are a leader, you can't lead from home. And it's the same thing if you have a gift of the Holy Spirit. That gifting cannot be used if you're at home. Now, if you're out of town or in jail, that's a different story. At that point in time, if you're in jail, your prison ministry started. Just allow God to use your gift in there. But if you are gifted by the Holy Spirit, then you're to be here, watch this, not for attendance purposes, but so that God can utilize you to win the world, to edify the body. So we are to come ready to contribute. When I was younger, I was taught you're supposed to come to church with a song on your heart, right? And the old mothers would get up and they would sing, and they would say, this song was on my heart all week, right? And they were ready to sing. They were ready to testify. They had a scripture that they had memorized. And I don't know how many of you all have gone to or go to Bible studies from week to week. And sometimes you go to a Bible study and they have a memory verse. What's the whole idea of memorizing the verse? It's not just for you, but it's so that you can relate that to the next person. You never know. Have you ever read something and you were like, this is so random, and then you ran into somebody at the mall, and then you were talking to them and they started talking to you, and you felt like, and all of a sudden you just started saying what that verse said, and that said, oh, that really blessed me. I needed to hear that. Right? That's God utilizing these gifts through us. It's important for us to come and to be ready to contribute to the service. That next point down, orderly worship is not stifling. Verses 27 through 40, through 33 and verse 40. The worship is not stifling. But as I pointed out earlier, people like to operate in chaos because there's no rules. There's no accountability. There's no responsibility. I can say this and I can do this, but there's no way to account for that. So I'm free to do this. There were people who get up. I've had people come to us early Sunday morning before service start and say, God gave me a word for your congregation on today. And I said, that's awesome. It's also funny, because while I was praying and talking to God today, He did not inform me that you were coming. So then, but people feel like as long as they say God gave me a word, God is using me. As long as they get up and they look like God is using them, they feel like they can get away with anything, say anything, sing anything. But since God is a God of order, then we'll come to understand that His order is the best thing for us. If you look at creation, the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west. It never starts in the north and stops in the south, right? I know sometimes we look up and we go, wait a minute, what's going on? I know sometimes you look up and you see the moon when the sun is, you know, I get all that, right? But there's still order. Sun comes up in the east, sets in the west. We have discernible seasons by which the earth is maintained. He's a God of order. He created man. Then He created woman out of man. He's a God of order. Even when you read throughout Scripture, God has always protected and covered the women because He started with the man and he posed it to the man or charged the man to cover the wife or to cover the woman. Order. It's order in everything that God does. We see the Holy Spirit, or some people see the Holy Spirit as spontaneous. As I said earlier, that He moves on His own accord. And there are times of divine interruptions within the service. However, God was aware that that was going to take place, and He accounted for it. Order. One of the fruits of the Spirit, one of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, is temperance, which means self-control. So let me say it like this. Temperance is a characteristic of the Holy Spirit, not ours. Temperance is not our characteristic, it is the Holy Spirit's characteristic. And there is no self-control in us unless we allow the Holy Spirit to take His rightful place and move and operate in us. So in the Scriptures today, when you read where it says there is speaking, let two or three speak, and in other Scripture passages it will tell you where there is one speaking, that where the Lord wants to edify the congregation, let the other two give way to the one that is speaking. Guess what? Since the Holy Spirit's characteristic, one of His characteristics is self-control, He knows when to speak and when not to speak. He also knows that the other two speakers, what they are going to say. And so He will never say anything that will contradict the other two speakers. Likewise, when the others prophesy, if there are two or three that are prophesying according to what was read, that whoever is prophesying will only prophesy and say what the Holy Spirit gives them to say, which will never be in contradiction to what the other two say. Why? Because He has a characteristic of self-control. And so if you ever walk into a building, and I know I'm about to lay this hard line down, and if anybody's going to watch this online, I know I'm going to get some phone calls on this, but if you ever go into a church building and there are 40 people speaking in tongues, guess what? Somebody is not in control. And it's not the Holy Spirit, because He is always in control. And so people question that, and they say, well, but you don't know what God is doing. No, His Scripture tells me what He's doing. And when I read this, I get a sense of who God is and how God operates. And yes, God can do some things and have divine interruptions. My father-in-law, before he passed, was a pastor, and I saw him, watched him up and ministering to the congregation, and somebody walked in the door who was on a cane. Now, I was told that he's always done this. But somebody walked in the door and they were on a cane. He stopped the service and went over and prayed for this person and had the congregation join him in praying for this person. Now, I was so moved by that I was preaching at his church one day, at their church, Prince of Peace church in Denver, Colorado. I was preaching at their church one Sunday morning. And while I was up ministering, there was a young man that came in. I guess he was young. He looked like he was older than me. To me, everybody's young. And he came in on a walker. And when he came in, my father-in-law got up out of his chair. Now, he was a rather large person, and so he didn't move very well, and his everything kind of got to the point where he was hard to walk and all of that. This young man walks in the door. My father-in-law gets out of his chair. I knew then that we were about to have a divine interruption. Watch this. In the midst of my ministering, the Holy Spirit helped me to understand what was about to take place. And then I stopped talking. At the moment that I stopped talking, my father-in-law got out of his chair and acknowledged the person that was coming in the door and wanted to pray, and then looked at me and said, I'm trying to remember what he used to call me at that time, because every time I went to Denver, it was something different. When I first went out there, I was a minister. The next time I went out there, it was elder. The next time I went out there, it was pastor. The next time I went out there, apostle. I was like, I'm getting elevated every time I walk in the door. I didn't know what was going to come next after apostle. And he looked at me and asked me, would I pray? And I said, yes, sir. And I went down and we laid hands on him, because the Bible says we shall call for the elders of the church. We'll lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I went down and I laid hands on him. The church was praying. We were all with one accord. We prayed for that young man. He walked in on a walker and he left his walker at the church. So does God move like that? Absolutely. But not without order. The Spirit of God in me, which is the same Spirit of God in him, had a conversation. Hey, with us, that is, not with each other. That'd be weird. But the Spirit of God had a conversation with me, and had a conversation with him, and without talking, we were with one accord. We understood what was taking place, and we understood what our next movement should be, and it was seamless. And when we got done praying for him, I came back to the podium and I picked up right where I left off. And we did not miss a beat. So can there be divine interruptions? Can there be a times when God moves in and is kind of a, I don't want to say mystical, but it's kind of an unplanned type of thing? Yes, it can happen. But that's not the norm. If that ever becomes the norm, then what becomes spectacular? What becomes out of the norm? What then can we point to? The problem in our society, and more importantly in our churches, is that people are looking for a move of God. And so they are they're looking for any little thing they can do, or any little thing they can hear, or any little thing that happens so they can point and say, that's God. Because everything else, quote unquote, is in order. Now, their life may be dysfunctional or in chaos, but everything else has an order, right? I get up, I brush my teeth, I wash my face, I put my clothes on, I take a shower, put my clothes on, and then what? Get dressed, we go to work, I do my 8 hours, or whatever, however many hours you work in a day, and then I get in the car, I come home, right, cut the grass, do the dog, change the light bulbs, all that stuff, right? Make sure everybody did their homework, send everybody to bed. I try to read those two sentences 3 or 4 times. Don't act like I'm the only one that opened a book and tried to read and got through two sentences, like it kept reading the same sentence. Oh my God, okay, let me start over. Right? Go to sleep, get up, do it all over again. And because of that ongoing regimen, we are looking for something spectacular, something mystical, something grand to happen, and we can point to it and say, there is God. The beauty about God is that when you see the order that God does things in, you can point to that and say, there's God. In this crazy, mixed up, chaotic world, if you are searching for God, you can find him in his order, in how he conducts himself and how he does things. Since the Holy Spirit is in us, he then controls if we allow him. And he knows what needs to be said. He knows what others are going to say. And so if we ever see chaos, it is not because the Holy Spirit is out of order. It is because we are. Remember, the goal is the edification of the church. Verses 36 to 38, who wrote the Bible? I was so excited when I walked in the door and I did not see anybody out there selling tomatoes that you could throw at me. Verse 33 to 35, women keep silent. Thank you. I don't normally drink. I see Mark all the time take a water break. All right. Gotta be careful with this one. If there's any time to walk on eggshells, it's right now. We must keep in mind the context and the culture for which the Apostle Paul is talking. Now, I did all those things just a few minutes ago in jest. What the scriptures, what Paul is referring to in this moment in time, is not as bad as you think it is. And I'm speaking to the women. It's not what you think it is. In the context of what it was written, the Apostle Paul, all throughout 1 Corinthians, is addressing the chaotic nature of the Corinthian church. Seemingly everything they were doing was out of order. Everything seemed like it needed correcting. There's a few things in there where the Apostle Paul pats them on the back and says, good job. There's a couple things in there. But for the most part, everything needed to be corrected and changed and redone and so forth and so on. And inside of this church, you had people, as Jim preached not too long ago, you had women who were stepping out of their quote-unquote place, but they were doing it in an irreverent, they were doing what they felt was right, but they were doing it in the wrong way. And so the context of all of this, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Corinthian church and all of the wrong things that are taking place in there. As to the culture, the worship service, as I mentioned before, vastly different. Women sat in one area. And when I mean vastly different, I mean none of what we do right now would ever be found in their worship service, right? Dancing? No. I absolutely appreciate Rachel and Melissa and all those that, and Berea and all of those who dance and got that ability and that skill, for which I do not. I appreciate them. That would not take place in that worship service. The type of singing that we do would not take place in the worship service. The type of preaching would not take place in that worship service. It's vastly different. The beautiful thing I like about our church and in today's culture, but especially this church, I like the fact that just about every husband I see in here, just about except for one, and I think I understand why, every husband is sitting next to his wife. That's awesome. That would not have taken place in the early church. Women sat in one area and men sat in another. And it was the men who conducted the service. They went forth in the service. Now, if you'll remember, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, preached Acts chapter 2. And somewhere in there, around verse 15, 16, 17, somewhere in there, the Apostle Peter, begins to recite what the prophet Joel said. In those last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And remember, the definition of the word all is all. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. If you go back to the message that Jim preached and go back to Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul never said that the women could not speak, that they could not prophesy, or they could not speak in tongues, but their head must be covered. The head covering is a symbol of their covering from their husband. Furthermore, women were not allowed a formal education in that time period. And if you look in that culture even today, that's still the case. In some instances, women are not allowed a formal education. When we went into Afghanistan and made some changes over there or whatnot, after Saddam is gone and all these other things, when we went over there and did that, women were allowed to go to school, go to college, so forth and so on. When we left Afghanistan last year, a couple years ago, you'll recognize that there was a concern that women would not be allowed to have a formal education again. And in some instances, that resumed. And so in that day and time, women were not allowed a formal education. Their education came by way of their husband. And so in the portion of the service where they were to teach, women were not allowed to teach, because teaching is synonymous with the word instruction, or to teach someone how to do something. And women were not allowed to do that for a variety of reasons, but the one that we're going to talk about today is because they did not have the formal education and therefore could not tell a man anything. But they were to be instructed at home by their husbands. Now, could a woman prophesy? Could a woman speak in tongues? Her husband is her covering, and as long as it was okay with him, she was allowed to, and her hair covered and so forth and so on, she was allowed to go forth. But that was God himself manifesting himself spirit-wise in them. And who can lay a question to that? But when it came to teaching, although that is still a gift of the Holy Spirit, when it came to teaching, it was not right. Now, if a woman was not married, she was covered by her father, or educated, I should say, by her father, and covered by her father in the same regards. And so we see here that it was not forbidden for women to be silent in the church, because obviously they would have to speak if they prophesy or if they spoke in tongues, and that is a contribution to the service. When it came to teaching, however, since their education was limited, they were unable to expound on what was prophesied or what was read in the scriptures. If she had a question during that discussion period, she was not to ask the question, because to ask the question would be a dishonoring piece, would dishonor her husband, because it's his responsibility to teach her at home. And so if she asked a question openly in the service, it looks like he is not doing his job. And then at that point in time, she just outed him. And that would dishonor him and consequently the family. So that kind of thing was going on, as some theologians would say, seem to think, that type of thing was going on in the Corinthian church, where women were speaking, quote-unquote, out of turn. And they were asking questions. And they were doing all these things, and again, in the chaotic nature of the Corinthian church. So the Apostle Paul, in order to correct that, just said that all the women should keep silent. Now, in today's church, our culture is different. How we go at the worship service is different. How we structure the teaching is different. How we go about a lot of different things is completely different. Now, we do have, in a structural sense, we do still have men as pastors. But if you look around, all throughout across the church, there are women who are found teaching. And men, you can say whatever you want to say. Some of them are spot on. I thought we'd get an amen from somebody. Amen. I can always count on Leah. But in this culture and in this context, there were some abnormalities, some things that were not the way they were supposed to be. And so the Apostle Paul, in addressing that, asked them to stay silent. Now, if you read back, he also tells the men that when they are prophesying, that if there are more than two or three, that the others should be silent or to be quiet. Also with the speaking in tongues, if there is more, they are to be quiet. If there is one who is edifying the congregation, the others are to be quiet, so forth and so on. So it is not just directed at women that only the women should be silent. He's speaking to the order of things. Do I still have friends? All right, good deal. All right. Let's move on. Let's move on. Verse 36 and 38, and these last two points we'll be able to kind of shoot through because they're very simple. Very simple. It says, who wrote the Bible, right? The Corinthians were operating as if they were the authority and not God. They were ignoring God and his words. This is still happening today. People will read God's word and still have their own opinion as to how things go. You've talked to those people before, and you said, well, you know, the Bible says da, 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 da. And what is the verse, and then the very next thing that comes out their mouth? But, they're like, there's no but to that. Once I've given you God's word, there's no but. There's no however. You need to understand that, no. Once God's word comes out, that's pretty much it. And there is no but or however or whatever else. Now, if there is a but or however and all that, and your opinion comes into play, guess what? That's your rebellion. God's word is what God's word is. It has stood the test of time. It was right then. It is right now. It will be right forevermore. And the Apostle Paul, in these verses 36 through 38, is addressing the maliciousness, if I could say it like this, of the Corinthian church in their disregard to God's word. It's kind of like, I know what God's word says, but this is how we're going to operate. And the fact that they were operating in error is the fact that somebody had to call, or had not call Paul, but had to write a letter to Paul and say, hey, there's some things not right. How do they know it's not right? Because it's not in keeping with God's word. It's not in keeping with what you taught us when you came through on your last missionary journey. It's nothing that you've said, nothing that you've read, nothing that you've done is in keeping right now, and we need you to correct this. And the Apostle Paul is saying that God's word is the authority and not you. And either you do God's word or don't do it at all. Because if you ignore God's word, you yourself will be ignored. 39 and 40 says you can do all these things, but do them decently and in order. It's very simple. Everything that we talked about today is supposed to take place. He says, therefore, brothers and sisters, be eager, brothers and who? Sisters. All right, make sure we recap that. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid tongues, the speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. That's it. You can do them. There's nothing that's against the law. I'm not chastising you for the gifts. I'm chastising you because the gifts are being used out of order. They're being misused. But if you do them orderly and do them in a way that God is glorified, that God is pleased, then okay. And that goes for men and for women. Now, the beautiful thing about us, and this is not a bragging thing or whatever, I love the fact that we do have order within our congregation and within our church. I love that. I love the fact that we can come in. Now, we might need to, spice it up or change some things or whatever else. That's a different story, and we're in the process of doing some of those things, but I love the fact that nobody is running around here just being willy-nilly doing their own thing. We don't have somebody out in the lobby, at least I don't know about it, somebody out in the lobby trying to re-preach the message. Now, if that's happening, just let me know. We don't have anybody holding court in the parking lot trying to say, they had it wrong, so let me show you the right way to do this. Right? We don't have people walking around here trying to speak a word into you. God gave me a word for you today. Right? But watch this. If he didn't do it in the service, and if he didn't do it through the preaching and whatnot, then what are we doing? There's order to this. God has got all of this stuff set up, and if we operate in his order, in his word, then everybody is edified and he is glorified. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful again for this day, for this service. Thankful, God, that you have brought us here again to worship you and to hear your word. Thankful, God, that you made clear your word for us on today. God, I in particular am grateful that I did not get booed while dealing with a certain portion of Scripture. So I'm grateful to you for that. But God, we are thankful that you have given us a firm foundation here in North County. And while there are some tweaks and changes and adjustments that have to be made, and that goes for everybody in every church, we're thankful for what you have placed in us. And now, God, as we get ready to move forward, we just pray that this foundation that we're building on, that it will sustain us while you continue to build us. And just bless us, God, to build in a manner that is in keeping with the foundation that you have given us. We love you, God, and we are grateful for your order, grateful for your word, grateful for how you move. We're just grateful for you. So, God, our request now is that you would take us from this place to our next destination, that you give us safe traveling mercies, that you allow us to return at the appointed time with no danger to befall us. And, God, we will be mindful to give you praise, honor, and glory both right now and forevermore. And everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you.